And for more on yesterday's expulsion vote, we're joined now by Howie Fisher of Capital Media Services. Howie, you have been through many, many floor sessions in both the House and Senate down at the Capitol. How would you describe yesterday's in the House?
I think there's really only one word for it, which is surreal. This is such an unusual situation. I mean, the last time a lawmaker was removed was in 1991, when Carolyn Walker, who was caught up in the ASCAM investigation, which was trading votes for cash, was the only lawmaker who refused to resign and had to be expelled. In the House, we go back to 1948 to actually find removal of a lawmaker. This is an unusual situation. And as Casey pointed out, it's a very emotional situation.
Yeah, I mean, it seemed like watching on the internet feed, it seemed like there were a lot of side conversations happening, which often happens before a floor session convenes. These seemed a little more maybe emotional or maybe a little more significant than your typical small talk or, you know, talking about a particular bill before the chamber gavels into session.
Well, a lot of what happened, and Casey alluded to this, is there were the votes to censure Mr. Schuder. I don't think, as we went in yesterday morning, there were the votes to remove him, which takes two-thirds of the 60-member House. What happened is Mr. Schuder just doesn't understand that what people in relationships should understand, sometimes just shut up and deal with it, instead of dealing with the statements that he did finally say about, well, I've been done bad things and I can be better. He insisted on sending out a letter suggesting that another lawmaker was also guilty of harassment, and why aren't we investigating her, and suggesting perhaps that we ought to drag this all through there. And I think that set a lot of people off. I think that a lot of people who said they were going to vote for censure said, no, this goes over the edge. Certainly, again, not having the judgment not to walk around the halls of the House and say, oh, it's a good day for a hanging. Again, sometimes you're better off just leaving it alone. And if he had done that, he would be still working at the Arizona legislature this morning.
What were the conversations like with Speaker Mesnard and maybe others who tried to convince him to resign and spare members from having to take that vote?
I think some of the conversations were, look, we've got a laundry list here. We have the votes to remove you. You know, why put yourself through this? Why put the House through this? Why have to force people to stand up and say essentially that you're a pig? I don't know how else to explain it, because many of the comments, as Casey pointed out, were very pointed by people who, some of them were victims at the House. Some of them had read this 82-page report and said, these are unacceptable things. I think they were willing to give him a second chance, given that many of these incidents actually dated back to before he was a House member to when he was in the Senate. He was first elected in 2010. And I think they're willing to say, okay, look, we're in a new world now. The sort of this is enough world, and everybody's political sensitivities have changed. And they're willing to give him another chance. But again, I think that that rather than simply sit quietly and say, I've done bad, I've learned my lesson, I can do better, he insisted on poking the bear.
It's interesting that you referenced people might be willing to give him a second chance. The report outlined years, and you alluded to this even when he was in the Senate, sort of a years-long pattern of bad behavior and inappropriate behavior and in some ways sexual misconduct. And yet, had he not said what he said and written that memo that he wrote yesterday, you think that he still would be there today?
I think so. I think that, look, there's two issues there. You know, Schuder is an aging frat boy. I don't know how else to describe it. I mean, he's a guy who would show up on Cinco de Mayo in a serape and a bandolero belt and bottles of tequila in a holster and a sombrero. And it was just, oh, yuck, yuck, yuck. You know, he was a guy who probably made, you know, dumb comments about women because that was acceptable. Look, the legislature for years, even though there's a lot of women there, has been a good old boys club. You know, one of the lawmakers suggested that, saying that even this past week, she was treated with disrespect, and she believes based on her gender, which is not acceptable. I think people are realizing the new political sensitivity. I think people are realizing that perhaps this was Shooter, and that perhaps properly chastised with a public censure, things might change. But again, he didn't know when to say nothing.
Howie, quickly, we just a few seconds left. What was the reaction to his departure yesterday, where he basically said his piece on the floor, literally dropped his mic, and then left?
I think there was a certain amount of relief, because I'm not sure that everybody wanted to be addressing him face to face while they were busy explaining why he doesn't deserve to be in the legislature. I think everyone was sort of relieved. It's behind us now. We come back on Monday morning. As Casey pointed out, there won't be a new Yuma lawmaker probably for about a week or so, but there's a cleansing feeling to it. And, you know, we've dealt with our problem. We've shown that we can be responsible. Let's move on.
All right. That's Howie Fisher of Capital Media Services. Howie, thanks as always.
Glad to be here.